Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to session 13 of Healed and Whole. We're so glad you're with us, praise God. Last time we were talking about how to hear the voice of God, and now we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. And really, you need to hear the voice of God to be able to operate in the spiritual gifts. So if you haven't heard the last two sessions, then go back and listen to those before you listen to this one, because it'll really help you. So today we're looking at spiritual gifts, the nine spiritual gifts. So take it away, Carly,
so
what have we got?
We're going to give a little overview here of the spiritual gifts, but before I start, let's just look at the purpose of these, okay? So I'm looking in, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to follow along. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. All right, so we are to be wise in the area of the spiritual gifts. I want to make known to you that no one speaking in the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We need to have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Verse 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And this is really important. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So it's the Holy Spirit that operates through us in the form of gifts. Mm. But the gifts are for the body of Christ. They're for the benefit of all. So we're going to go through each one of these different gifts and give you some examples and an overview of how they look. But I want you to know that everyone has spiritual gifts. Everybody does. Every born again believer has spiritual gifts on the inside of. There is no exception. Okay, so everyone.
Just for the ministers. What about those just in the five offices? You know, is it just for those people?
Absolutely not. It says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. That's not without exception for the profit of all. In other words, for the profit of the body. Okay.
Mm. So every Christian's got spiritual gifts.
Yep. And so let's read down into verse 8 here. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings, that's plural, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, not just miracles, but the working of miracles is a difference, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And this is important, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills.
As God wills.
As the Holy Spirit, as God is leading. We don't just get to pick and choose.
So you can't just say, today I think I'll have a word of knowledge.
I fancy some prophecy today.
I fancy a discerning of spirits today. God's going to give you the gift you need in that moment. He's going to give you the gift you need to minister and to be able to help other people.
Amen. And that's really important, because when we go into, you know, maybe even in our own life, or maybe we're in a ministry situation, we can have full assurance, full confidence, knowing that we are fully equipped. Mm-hmm. We don't need to have anything else. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus on the inside of us. We are packed full of the Holy Ghost, right? Mm-hmm. Which means we have all of these gifts at our disposal in one time, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to operate through us in whichever gift is necessary in that moment.
Amen.
So we don't have to go and work it out. It's not like we've got a spiritual toolbox and we're deciding which one to pick up on.
Right.
It's the Holy Spirit that will lead us into truth in these areas.
And sometimes I've found myself in situations, especially when I'm ministering to people and stuff, I'll be operating in one of the spiritual gifts and not even realize it.
It'll be
natural. Or sometimes it's like, was that a word of wisdom? Was that a word of knowledge? Or was that prophecy? It doesn't matter. It's not going to be so clean all time as to which one's which. We're just going to give you an overview of the nine spiritual gifts to help you understand. You know, as Paul said here in the first verse of this chapter 12, you know, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. I want you to have knowledge about these things. So we want to share some knowledge with you. But you know what? No, when it comes to practicing, it's going to be practicing. Sometimes you're going to miss it. Sometimes you're not going to be sure which gift you're flowing in. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's up to God to distribute those gifts as he wills. When you're in a situation, you know, God's going to give you these gifts to work off. And Jesus used these gifts to minister to people, right? We can go through the gospel and see Jesus operate in word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, discerning of spirits and things like that. So we're going to go through the gifts one by one, is that right?
And then I just want you to look at this one. This is also in 1 Corinthians 12, but in verse 31, it says, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way.
Ooh.
Okay.
Then it goes into love, right?
Right, exactly. Then it goes into the love chapter. So here's my disclaimer on this. You know, we all want to be people of faith and power, don't we? Right? We all want to cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, and all those wonderful things. But it says in chapter 13, you know, we can have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I have nothing.
Wow.
All of these gifts operate through the love of God.
Amen.
That's super important. Otherwise, we become, you know, a clanging cymbal is what he says. If we do not operate in love, we are nothing, right? So we don't want to be, although it says earnestly desire the best gifts, that is followed up with a chapter on love. So don't take that out of context. We want to desire to operate in spiritual gifts, but seeking the gift is not where we should be at.
No, that's right.
Not that we're seeking the gift. We're seeking the giver of the gift.
Amen.
There is a difference.
And I love it how Paul puts that right in there. Again, there was no chapter and verses when Paul wrote these letters. So right after he's spending all this time talking about gifts and the spiritual gifts and things like this, the offices, he's also talking about motivational gifts, all these in chapter 12, he goes right into chapter 13 and says, I'll show you a more excellent way. And it's almost like he says, you know what? All what I've said, you have to put it in balance, in context with love. And like you're saying, if you're not operating in love, if you're not operating in love for God and love for people, then it doesn't matter how great these gifts are. You know, it says here, like you said, you can have the gift of prophecy, you can understand all mysteries, you can have so much faith that you can move mountains. But if you're not doing it in love, if you're not operating in love, it's nothing.
Yeah, motivation needs to be the main thing. A motivation of love needs to be the main thing.
Amen. And that's why we should want to desire these spiritual gifts, because we can help people more, so we can love people more effectively, serve people more effectively.
And that's what the gifts are for. They're for the body.
Amen.
You know, in fact, it's interesting because people sometimes wonder when they look back in church history and they see these amazing healing evangelists that end up dying sick.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, well, how can this be? They had the gift of healings, or they had the gift of miracles, or whatever it was. How is it that then they can die sick? Did they not really believe it? Was it all just a show? And the answer is no, none of those things. The gifts are for the body.
Mm.
When we operate in spiritual gifts, it's for the building, for the edification, for the uplifting of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for us as individuals. That's a really significant point. These things are operated by the Spirit for the body, for the profit of all.
For edifying of all, for the body. So if you're operating in one of these gifts, you need to really use your own faith to see your own healing. Some people get confused. They say, well, I pray for other people and I see all these other people healed. I see miracles, I see healings, but then I'm sick and I can't get myself healed. That's because it's your own relationship with God that you've got to rely on there, right? Not just the gift.
Here's the thing, and the gift are a different thing from the authority that every believer has.
Mm.
So as a believer, when we are ministering to ourselves, if you like, when we are rebuking sickness and disease in our own body, we're using our God-given, delegated authority, power and authority that Jesus has given us over the things of the enemy working in our life. But when we minister in the gifts, for the edification, for the body, that could be a gift of the Holy Spirit that we're operating in.
Mm.
You know, if we're operating in the gift of healings, that'll be for the body. But when we can't then use that gift of healings on ourselves. We use our power and authority that's been given to us through Jesus.
That's good.
So there's a difference.
Yeah,
subtle but important.
And the offices, you know, it talks about, we're not going to get into this in this course, but you know, it talks about the office of a pastor and of a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher, an apostle. You know, those positions there, the whole idea of those positions is to build up the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They're meant to train the body of Christ to go out. They're the ones on the back line, and the whole body of Christ are the ones on the front line. And it's almost like the devil sold us a lie that, you know what, it's just the super dupers that do the work, and the rest of the body of Christ, they just sit and watch. That's not true.
Every single person,
if you're born again, you are a minister of the gospel.
Amen.
If you're born again, God wants to use you, and he's got assignments for you. He's got people for you to minister to. He's got gifts for you to use. And really, even if you're not one of the fivefold ministry offices, you know what? They're on the back line training you up on how to do the ministry.
That's right.
So this is why the spiritual gifts are so important. They're for every believer. And you're going to find you're going to operate in some more than others, but they're for every believer. And God wants you to operate in them so that you can be more effective for him.
Right. So as we go through these, we're going to give you an overview just so that you can see, because I'm sure this certainly happened to me when I started reading and studying about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, they did that really encourage me, because sometimes, you know, especially if you've kind of just always been a believer, like you got saved when you were a really young child or something, you can feel kind of like, I'm not really special. I don't have one of these Saul on the road to Damascus experience conversions.
Right.
I don't have, you know, light to darkness to light kind of, you know, that wasn't my testimony. You know, some people are sitting there thinking, I just don't feel very special. I don't feel like I have any spiritual gift. Right. As we go through this overview of spiritual gifts, you'll start to recognize times in your life where these gifts have been in operation you didn't even realize. You know, God is working through you. God has anointed you. You do have His Holy Spirit and you can hear His voice. Amen?
Amen. Amen. That's good preaching.
Everybody can.
Amen.
All right, so the first one here is the gift of the word of wisdom. Now, this is interesting because this is a word of revelation that comes to help you in a particular situation concerning the divine purpose or will of God. And God is specifically talking about the future. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that the office of the prophet will operate very strongly in. So mm-hmm. a word of wisdom is something, a piece of knowledge that you could not otherwise have known in the natural, specifically concerning the future, about something that hasn't happened yet. So I'll give you an example. We're sitting in Bible college, and one of our last lessons in Bible college, I hear the Lord speak to me and say, you're going to go to America, and you're going to go to this pastor's church, and Ashley's going to learn from him. Now, that was a word of wisdom. Right. That was about our future. That was not on the horizon. We didn't know anything about it. Right. There is no way I could otherwise have known about that. Here's one way you can test word of wisdom. Just watch them come to pass.
Right. Right,
right? Yeah. Then you'll know. You know, when maybe you felt like God is leading you in a certain direction and you don't tell anyone necessarily, and it happens, then you know you had a word of wisdom right there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
now,
pretty
when I'm delivering a word of wisdom to someone, out of habit, I'll often say something like, I feel God saying this, mm-hmm. or I think God's saying that. I don't come down so strong and say, that saith the Lord, this is going to happen to you, you need to do this, mm-hmm. because I feel like that doesn't give people the out, you know, if they're not ready to receive that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we miss it. We're practicing in these gifts, so right. sometimes we miss it. But yeah, the word of wisdom is something related to the future, and it, like Carly said, the office of a prophet uses this a lot, and you'll see this a lot in the Old Testament. And you know what? It's a supernatural ability to know something that's going to happen in the future that you won't be able to know otherwise. So mm-hmm. what's the difference between the word of wisdom and then the next one, the word of knowledge?
Okay, so a word of knowledge, that's a specific piece of information that you can tell about something that's happening in the present or has happened in the past.
Okay, so the present or the past.
Yeah,
it's a supernatural knowing of a situation yeah. you couldn't know otherwise.
Yeah, so maybe you're ministering to somebody and just on the inside you feel like there's a piece of knowledge that's just dropped into your mind mm-hmm. that you don't even know this person, but the Lord has maybe revealed something, maybe an experience that the person has been through, or maybe like I gave an example, I think it was in the last lesson, about a lady that had a liver problem.
Right.
There is no way that I could have known that, but just the word liver came on the inside right. of my head, just and popped into my head.
What usually happens to those things is we'll get testimony, we'll get people email us months later sometimes, and that was me, I was mm-hmm. listening to this, and you gave that word, and I put my hand on myself and I was healed and my liver was healed. But you couldn't have known that, so this is something in the present or the past. And sometimes I've ministered to people and say, you know what, you had a problem with XYZ mm-hmm. or you know, you've been hurt before XYZ mm-hmm. in this situation, and it's like it cuts right to their root of the
right.
problem,
just like that they do with the liver condition.
Yeah, and I usually know I'm right because I start crying and be like, how did you know yeah. that, you know. So but the word of knowledge is helpful because it gives you it talks about the present or the past. So really the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom work well together.
Yeah,
because
often you'll find them together in pairs.
What happens is you have God's showing me that, you know, you've got a child that's gone astray, a grown child that's gone astray, and you know, 10 years ago you had this issue and this child went astray and you've been worrying about it, and that's word of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then the word of wisdom might step in and say, you know what, but God's saying, you know, very shortly she's going to come back to you and you're going to be reconciled. Mm-hmm. Word of wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. So those two often work hand in hand.
Right. You know, and oftentimes we'll operate in the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of prophecy at the end of our teaching sessions. Mm-hmm. Those words that we're giving, that we're speaking out, it's just things that have popped into our mind that we feel like the Lord is showing us. And you'll see them because they'll be confirmed. People will respond. Mm-hmm. I just prayed for a little boy the other day that had a heart condition. I didn't know he had a heart condition. The lady came to me with her son for prayer, and you know, I like to spend a few seconds just praying in tongues. That just works really good for me. I like right. it kind of focuses my brain where it needs to be.
Helps hear God's voice clearer.
Helps me hear God's voice more clearly. You don't have to do that. Don't make a doctrine out of it, but it works for me. And you know, I just prayed in tongues inside my head for a couple of seconds, really, and I just saw a picture of a heart valve. And so I said, you know, I just laid my hand on him. I started speaking to his heart valve. I had no idea that he needed a heart valve operation. And she calls me up, emails me a couple of days later, and she said, you know what, you didn't know this, but he had a problem, the exact problem that you just spoke out, and we went to have the surgery, and he didn't need it anymore.
Amen.
He's completely healed.
That's awesome.
That was a word of knowledge. Right. So they're powerful.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So the next one is the gift of faith.
Gift of faith. Now, this is a little bit of a different kind of gift. This is not talking about the faith that everybody, every believer has in order to get saved, okay? This is a special dispensation of faith, if you like. And it's a supernatural ability to believe that God's going to act on your behalf. Mm. And this is different because out of all of the gifts that we have here, the gift of faith operates outside of a person's will. So I'll give you an example of this. All of the other gifts involve some cooperation from us, you know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues, interpretation. You have to participate, right? But this one is a bit different. The person concerned with this, they don't have to do anything. Yeah. So I'll give you some examples of this. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he was operating in the word, in the gift of faith. He didn't touch the lions. Now, we know those lions were hungry because they ate all the people that they threw in afterwards, right? But he didn't go up and close the mouths of the lions. He didn't speak to the lions. He didn't command the lions. He didn't rebuke the lions. He didn't do anything. He just believed God was going to act to protect him. Mm-hmm. And God supernaturally protected him from those hungry lions. This gift actually operates real strongly. You can see many examples in the Bible of this, but it operates real strongly in the areas of protection and provision. Okay. So there is supernatural provision that happens there. I'm sure you know, there's many, many different examples that we could pull out.
It's just being able to believe God mm-hmm. above your regular faith, if you like, or, you know, above what you'd normally believe God for. So mm-hmm. I remember when we were coming up to America, at first it looked like we was going to be denied the visas to come to America. And I remember something rose up in me and I said, you know what, it doesn't matter what the US Embassy says, it doesn't matter what the British Embassy says. God's told us we're going to America, we're going to America. And I believe that may have been a gift of faith because it was nothing natural, nothing even normally acts in faith. This was beyond that. I had such a confidence that it was going to America. I didn't even have doubt. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like it was a done deal. I know this happened to you a lot of times with protection, provision. Mm-hmm. It's like, nope, this is God's told us we're going to do it, we're going to do it, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like when you operate in the gift of faith, it's almost like it's above your faith. It's totally outside of your faith, mm-hmm. and you've got this ability to believe God more than you ever believed him before.
Right. Another example would be Elijah with the ravens. Mm-hmm. The Lord told him to go and wait by the brook Cherith, and the ravens would feed him there. Now, this is completely supernatural. Let me tell you, ravens don't normally come along and drop little morsels of food for mm-hmm. you to eat, right? They're going to eat it themselves if they find it.
Right.
But, you know, the prophet went to the place called there. He went to the place where God showed him to be, right by the brook, and the ravens, God commanded the ravens to supernaturally bring him the provision.
Provide him his provision.
Exactly. So this gift is unusual from the others. It kind of operates outside of a person being involved in it, but is it a supernatural ability to believe that God is going to act on our behalf, and it's different from the type of faith that we use to receive salvation. Mm-hmm. All right, so gift of healings, what are they?
Okay, so healings, this is not just the gift of healing, this is the gift of healing. So this is plural. You know, I believe this is a special ability to see people healed in a certain area. So you may see people, maybe you've experienced this yourself, that you know what, you'll pray for people with, say, back problems, and everyone you pray for with back problems seems to get healed of back problems.
Or right.
You'll pray
it's
for
like
people
It's like an anointing
with,
for a certain thing.
Yeah, anointing for a certain thing, gift of healings. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not like you have the gift of healing and every time you pray for someone, they're healed, but it's certain areas usually you'll find mm. will
so
work
So some
out.
People, they may find that particular success when they pray for blindness or cancer or arthritis. It could be a number of different things.
Gifts of healing. So mm-hmm. that's the gift of healings, and it's powerful because you know it's beyond just your normal faith and authority. Now you can pray for people in that situation and you're just confident they're going to be healed, and they're healed because you've seen a lot of that happen.
So I know this happens to me a lot when I pray for ladies that are trying to get pregnant.
That's true.
I've prayed for them, I know, 15 people and they've conceived.
At least, so. And they've conceived babies who weren't able to conceive for years before. So that is true. Yeah, so don't pray for yourself. We've got three children.
Oh, thank
We're
you,
very
honey.
Happy. You're very happy. Move
thank
on.
You,
move on quick.
This isn't
going
to work for me. Don't
no,
worry.
Move on before I get in trouble here.
All right. Working of miracles. What's that about?
The working of miracles. You know what? This is different from the gift of healings. This is a miracle isn't a healing. A miracle is something that supersedes the natural laws of God. So a miracle is something outside of natural things. Now, a healing basically is a speeding up our body's healing.
It's a natural process. It's already in the body.
Yeah, our bodies will heal anyway most of the time. So a healing can be something that's sped up and maybe it happens instantly rather than... But a miracle is something beyond that. A miracle is something totally outside of the natural realm, a creative miracle or something that cannot be explained, something that is just outside of natural healing. So the working of miracles is being able to work those things and actually be able to see those miracles come about, having a faith for those miracles. This can actually work in healing, but also it can work in the area of finances. You can have the gift of working of miracles when you see supernatural abundance come around very often as well. So that's the working of miracles.
All right, so prophecy. Now this is
we've got an example like Moses dividing the Red Sea. That was a working of a miracle.
Okay, yeah.
And probably faith as well, gift of faith as well, maybe. Sometimes these are working in conjunction with each other.
Yep. And you know, we don't have to, sometimes people are like, well, how do I know whether I need a miracle or whether I need a healing.
Right.
You know, we don't have to work it out. What can I tell you, in the area of healing, a miracle might be something like a limb growing, right? Or an organ growing back that's been removed, or you know, something like that. It's not just a matter of healing. Maybe you've got something missing from your body that needs to grow back, appear somehow. That would be a miracle. But honestly, don't get too wrapped up in this. Remember we said at the beginning that it's as the Holy Spirit wills, and He will lead. Let him lead it, right?
Amen.
Let him lead it. He's gonna lead it. He's gonna do his thing. He knows what he's up to. He's expert in these areas. So don't worry about it too much. Amen. If in doubt, Jesus is always the answer. Keep it simple.
So what you got next, Karen?
All right. So this is prophecy. This is the next one. And this gift is a supernatural message in a language that is known, totally inspired by the Holy Spirit. So a gift of prophecy. This will be a word of edification. It'll be a word of exhortation. It'll be a confirmation. But it'll be usually a confirmation to something that is already known, and it will be given in a known language.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important.
Right. So then we've got the next one we've got is discerning of spirits. So discerning of spirits is... this is an interesting one. In fact, a lot of children operate in the discerning of spirits. You know, some children have nightmares because they're seeing into the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not the discerning of evil spirits. It's the discerning of spirits. So
the gift of superstition.
No, it's not the gift of superstition. It's not the gift of suspicion.
No.
This is the gift of being able to see spiritual activity. And it could be the Holy Spirit or it could be the devil. But you're able to see a spiritual activity. And you're very discerning when it comes to people's motives.
Right.
I mean, you're very discerning when it comes to people's, you know, what's their hidden agenda, if you like.
Right.
And you're able to determine that. And you may be operating this without even knowing it. But you know what? You just think, I have a funny feeling about this person. Something's not right. We shouldn't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know what? Everything the natural says, it's okay, trust them. You trust them. And then 2 months later, you realise, oh, no, you was right. That guy was actually operating under an evil spirit.
Well, the same way, this can be used for good things. It's not just detecting evil, if you like. You know, you could have an awareness that somebody's very genuine.
Right.
You know, I think it says about David that there was no guile within him.
Right. Or someone.
He didn't have a hidden agenda.
Right.
He was telling the truth.
Or I've been in services where I just feel, you know what, the Holy Spirit's moving right now. You know what, God wants to, you know, God wants to heal people or move right now. And I say to the pastor, you know what, I really feel, and he's like, yeah, I agree.
It's a sensitivity to the move of the Holy Spirit.
A sensitivity to the move of the Holy Spirit, and also discerning of evil spirits as well. So both that goes both ways, but it's discerning spirits is a powerful gift. What have we got next?
All right, so this is the last one. This is the interpretation of...
Tongues and interpretation.
Tongues and interpretation.
They go together.
They're two separate things, but often
they go together. Now, the gift of tongues, you know what? Every believer has their own personal prayer language of tongues if they want to. If you're born again spirit-filled, you have your own prayer language. It's up to you if you pray it or not. Some people choose not to. They don't understand it. That's maybe for another lesson. This isn't your personal prayer language. This tongues is the gift of tongues. It's the spiritual gift of tongues. The easiest way to understand this is your personal prayer language is your spirit praying to God's spirit. Is your spirit praying to God. This is the gift of tongues, and this is God's spirit praying through your spirit to the body of Christ.
Right.
So this is God trying to get a message to his people.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens publicly, or at least when other people can hear. And you often notice it'll be different from someone's just normal prayer language. If you've given a word in tongues publicly, usually it's with a little bit of authority and it's out publicly, and then there'll be someone to interpret that. You might interpret it yourself, you might operate in both gifts, but sometimes someone else will interpret that. But it's God trying to get a message to his people.
And it's important to notice that interpretation of tongues is not a direct translation word for word.
Right, it's interpretation, not a translation.
Thank you.
Amen,
exactly.
And you know what, I've seen this operate many, many times, and I've been in services where people will give a word in tongues, lines, and then I'll just sense the translation. I'll just sense the interpretation, I should say. Yeah, it might not be word for word, but it's interpretation. And I'll give the interpretation publicly, and the person who gave the word in tongues was like, man, that's what I've been studying all week, or that's what God's been speaking to me all week. So it's powerful. It's God trying to get a message to his people, and that's tongues and the interpretation of tongues. It's different from your own personal prayer language. Mm-hmm. But when you pray in your own personal prayer language, why not believe God for an interpretation and then give you interpretation as well?
Right. Praise God.
But this is the thing. That's why Paul talks about, you know, don't pray in tongues all the time, things like that. He's talking about the spiritual gift of tongues, not your personal prayer language of tongues. So there's a very quick overview of the nine spiritual gifts. We've had to rush through them. That's the quick overview. Hopefully that helps you understand something. Like we talked about at the beginning, sometimes it's not black and white which one you're operating in or which one someone's operating in, but that is the overview, and they're the type of things God wants you to flow in to be able to minister more effectively to people.
Right.
Amen.
And not only will these be a blessing to the body, but you know, they're an encouragement to us, because you know, we can encourage ourselves knowing and recognizing times when the Holy Spirit has flowed through us to other people.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know about you, but I'm really encouraged when I look back. I like to journal these things as well, you know, just keep a note of these things, because when God speaks to us sometimes, like Ashley's been saying, we have to kind of take it by faith. We don't know exactly. So maybe you've had words of knowledge or words of prophecy. You know, you can write those things down, and then you go back and you can watch them come to pass.
Mm.
You can see how God has used you. Maybe he's spoken things to you to bless other people. But the main thing is, these gifts are for the body of Christ, but they take your cooperation and your faith in order to operate in them.
Yeah.
You know, God, if you want to desire to operate in spiritual gifts, then make yourself available. It's as simple as that. Just say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to be a vessel, to be used by you. But if you're going to pray that prayer, now remember, God's going to give you opportunities. And that's where the faith comes in.
Yeah, be ready to step out and minister to people.
Making yourself a little bit vulnerable, taking yourself out of your comfort zone sometimes, and being willing to give that word or give that encouragement and say, Holy Spirit, I might not have it all together, but I believe that this is you. I believe that you're leading me, and I'm going to step into this in faith.
And it could be as simple as God saying to you, you know what, go and talk to that person over there and tell them this and this, you know, and it's going to take obedience to step out.
Amen.
So go for it. Amen.
God's for you.
Amen. Why don't we pray for the people before we go at the end of this session. Father God, I thank you for your spiritual gifts. I thank you, Lord, that you want us to operate in these spiritual gifts. You want us to serve and love people effectively, Lord. And we thank you that you've given us these gifts. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you're living inside of us. And I thank you, Lord, you're going to lead us in these gifts as we need them. And I thank you, you're giving the viewers boldness to listen to you, to hear your voice and step out in these spiritual gifts. Basically, just to obey you, just to step out in boldness and obey you by faith. And I thank you, Lord, people are going to start operating these gifts, and they're going to start to be able to minister to people and love people more effectively than they ever have before. So I thank you for great testimonies coming about from people operating these spiritual gifts.
Amen. We believe it and we receive it.
Amen. Praise God. Well, go for it this week. Go and step out in these spiritual gifts. Praise God. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com.
I'd like to encourage you to consider becoming a partner with TerraDes Ministries. You know, I believe the spirit of increase is on this ministry, and as you partner with us, we're able to go around the world and share the gospel, praise God, the good news, with so many people. We're able to make shows, get them out on the internet, make our website available for people, make new products, write new books, basically get the love of God out to as many people as we can, and it's changing lives. And also, I believe as you partner with us, we pray for our partners, you will receive abundance on that seed. When you sow seed into this ministry, we really believe you're going to receive increase, praise God. So consider becoming a partner today.
If you have been blessed by this program, we invite you to donate and partner with TerraDes Ministries. Visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com, and become a partner today. Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
Confession is often the first indicator of a person's faith. If you let them talk long enough, they'll tell you, you'll be able to hear where their faith is at.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be really careful that we are speaking, knowing that we have life and death in the power of our tongue, but we are speaking in accordance to agree with the word of God over our situation rather than confessing every negative thing.
You spend all that time on the details, on the negative, it's almost like you're putting your focus there, and it's, you know, everyone's focus is going there, and it's like you're glorifying the problem rather than glorifying the answer.
There's a balance there.
Join us next time for the Abundant Life program with Ashley and Carly Terrades.